All right, y'all. Greetings and God bless you. It is me, Dr. Letitia Webb, and I am the woman who prayed and painted to clear the muddied waters in my marriage and to heal my emotional pain. Then I took that artwork and used it as inspiration to create products that you can find on Amazon, like my journals or my check-in cards. Check this out. This is my check-in postcard, and you see I have t-shirts, honey. And I no longer say that I produce power from my pain because I don't have the power to do anything. I decree and declare that I am God resilient. And welcome to our daily devotional. Whether you are on YouTube Live, Facebook Live, or listening to the podcast, God bless you. It is snowing on this beautiful Saturday morning in Philadelphia. Amen. I pray that you enjoy your Valentine's Day. If you celebrate it, I personally don't celebrate Valentine's Day. That's just my thing. But if you did, I pray that it was blessed. And if you didn't even have a boo, I pray that you were with the Lord. Amen. Or you had your own solo times. However you did it, I pray that your week was beautiful. But we are not going to belabor the time. We're going to do exactly what we came to do, which is pray, process today's devotional in God resilient, amen, and pursue God's word. And I also want to say thank you so much for all of your prayers. A sister is getting better. I think I got my color back. I got my energy back. I got my vibe back. So I'm slowly getting back. So I thank you so much. All right, so let's go ahead and pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you, we praise you, we worship you, and we honor you. Father God, we thank you so much for your goodness. Yes, every single day we're thanking you for your goodness, thanking you for your grace, thanking you for your mercy. Oh, Father God, thanking you for your love, thanking you for your protection. Father God, thanking you for your provision. We seek ye first thy kingdom and thy righteousness, Lord, and everything that we need shall be added unto us, Lord. We are seeking you. No one is coming to see me. No one is coming to hear me, Lord God. They are coming to get a word from you. Oh, Father God, I yield myself to you as a vessel of honor, fit for your use. Have your way. We bind every spirit of attack or retaliation. We plead the blood of Jesus over the airways, over the internet, over these social media platforms, Lord God. Those that you have called to this space and place, bless them. Meet them where they are, Father God. Honor them, Lord God, for their seek and for their commitment to hear from you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you, Rhonda. God bless you, Evelyn. Amen, Evelyn. I pray that you are safe and sound. Amen. As you are getting off of work, traveling in the snow. God bless you, Terry. It is wonderful to see you. If you are on YouTube, I would love to know. Let me know that you are here. Amen. So I can give you a shout out and some love. Amen. So I pray that you guys have been getting an understanding with all that getting an understanding, amen, when it comes to your kingdom value. Again, we're going to be on this topic for a minute because we need to know that we may not have the earthly value, the worldly value that we see other people possess, but honey, we have kingdom value. Amen. And our kingdom value is not like the world's value. Amen. And I have been praying to the Lord ever since God has been giving me this revelation. Because, you know, I got to eat the bread before I serve it. And I give honor to our spiritual mother, Dr. Carolyn. She is the one that ministered my kingdom value to me. And I had to meditate on that word for myself. Amen. And I had to ask the Lord, what did he mean by kingdom value? And how do I have kingdom value? And so what I have prayed, and I pray that this prayer is a blessing unto you. Amen. I've been praying, God, may my kingdom value align. No, no, no. May the worldly value align with my kingdom value. Because my kingdom value is first. May my kingdom value and my worldly value come into alignment, which means that God, how you value me and the value that you see in me, may that be manifested in the three-dimensional realm that will bring me the abundant life that Jesus promised that I would have. Y'all understand that prayer? That whatever it is that God sees, that my humility, my obedience, amen, all of those things that God has given me that he sees as valuable in his kingdom, may that have an earthly value that'll bring me prosperity, that'll bring me success, that'll bring me abundance. Amen. That kingdom value will be converted, amen, to that earthly value. And I hope you guys understand what I'm saying, that I'm not trying to get my value from the world. Amen. But whatever is bound on earth is bound on heaven, and whatever is loosed in earth is loosed in heaven. Amen. And so it's like, okay, I want to loose my kingdom value in the three-dimensional realm. Amen. That my kingdom value will be loosed so that I can start benefiting from my kingdom value here on earth. I pray that that prayer is a blessing, that you heard something from that, and that you will be able to apply it to your life and in your prayer life. Amen. And so that's what I've been praying. And so now we're going to do a quick recap. Amen. That we're going to overcome negative self-talk. We got to be mindful of what we say to ourselves, because it's not about what other people say about us. It's what we say to ourselves that hinder us. We can read the Bible all day and read what the Lord says about us in his word. But if we don't believe that about ourselves, we're going to show up differently. We got to understand that we have a unique position, that God has transformed us through the power of his word, that he has renewed our mind. God made a deliberate choice when he chose us. He knew everything about us and still called us. So then if God knew that and God did that, then why are you still talking negatively about yourself? Yes, we all have things about us that need to improve, that we need to work on. But why harp on those things? Why continue to speak those things into the atmosphere? Get in line with what God says about you and release those things. Amen. We want to stop comparing ourselves to other people. We need to tear that down. We need to dismantle comparisons. And when we compare, we got to be very careful that we don't step into that spirit of inadequacy or that spirit of self-righteousness. That is, comparison is only going to do one or two things. It's going to make you feel inadequate, or is going to make you rise up in self-righteousness. Either one is good for us. Okay? So we need to dismantle the trap of comparison. And then we got to be very careful that when we don't get the necessary recognition that we need, especially from our family, especially from our loved ones, that we don't go seek validation from other people. Because when we start to seek validation from others, honey, people are fickle. You know what they did to Jesus. Honey, they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna of the highest one day, and laying out palms. And then the next day, them same people were saying, crucify him, crucify him. Stop playing. The same people that'll love you today will hate you tomorrow. The same people that's singing you praises today will talk about you like a dog behind your back tomorrow. Stop playing. We got to be very careful about seeking validation from people. We have to seek the Lord to recognize us, to validate us, and to give us our value. Amen. So today, we are talking about past trauma. Y'all know all too well the impact of trauma during our formative years and what that can do to our personality, our psyche, our spiritual, psychological, and emotional beings. It impacts our social dimensions. Amen. It impacts, depending on the type of trauma we've experienced, it impacts our sexual dimension. Evelyn says, only count on the Lord to show you who you are. Amen. That's all we have. Because man will flip on you. Man will switch up on you all the time. You do one thing, honey, that man don't agree with, that man don't like. Because we judge each other's sins. We judge each other's weaknesses. We judge each other's falls. We do that. And you got to get used to it. You got to expect it. Amen. And you got to just let it go. That whoever was in your life, they was in your life for a season. They was in your life for a reason. And God bless them. You know what I mean? But that's what we do as people. God bless you, Evelyn. It's wonderful to see you this morning. Amen. I love you much. God bless you, Pastor Carr. So we got to understand the impact that trauma has on our lives. It will impact us. And when we are traumatized and we are living with unresolved trauma, we're going to show up different. God's not going to be able to use us the same way. God bless you, Deacon Johnson. I pray you and Elder Helene had a wonderful week. Amen. I know it was Valentine's Day week. I can't remember if you guys celebrated or not, but I pray that you guys enjoyed your week. Amen. So we don't know how trauma impacts each individual person, but we know it hinders them in so many different ways. And we're going to talk about today that in spite of your childhood trauma, you have kingdom value. And we're going to look at it. So y'all got to bear with me. Amen. As I'm recovering. But we got to read the word of God. Amen. So let's turn to Exodus chapter 1. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 1. We're going to be talking about Moses' early years. We talked about Moses in the beginning of this series. Actually, on Valentine's Day, we talked about overcoming negative self-talk and how Moses stood before the Lord and was like, I'm slow of speech. I can't do this. I'm not eloquent. I can't stand before Pharaoh and say anything. And God was like, what? Come on now. I done told you what to do. Which you really didn't even have to say a whole lot, because I gave you 3 signs. Throw down the staff, put your hand in your cloak, and get some water from the Nile River. I'm going to do this, not you. But nevertheless, God was like, all right, go get your brother Aaron, who's a Levite, and have him speak for you. Because there's a bigger picture here. I got a bigger plan here. And you are the one that I need to do this, okay? God didn't need him, but he was the one called to do it. Amen? So now we are going back to Moses, but now we're not looking at Moses as a full-grown man. We're going to look at Moses as a baby and the things that he experienced as a baby that could potentially, in our time, be viewed as childhood trauma. The Bible doesn't talk about childhood trauma. So I don't want you guys to think I'm putting inferences in the Word of God. I'm not adding or taking away from the Word. Amen? But what I'm saying is, let's look at this story and let's see how we could view these experiences as traumatizing in our day. Amen? So now, let's look at the first chapter. Now, I won't be able to read the whole thing, or then I'll lose my breath, okay? But I'm going to try to read the best I can. So now, let's start at Exodus chapter 1. We're going to be in chapter 1 and chapter 2. Amen? So now, let's start at verse 6. It says, Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation eventually died. But the Israelites were fruitful, increased rapidly, multiplied, and became extremely numerous so that the land was filled with them. My God, the land was filled with Israelites. Okay, Jesus. A new king who did not know about Joseph came to power in Egypt. He said to his people, look, the Israelite people are more numerous and powerful than we are. Come, let's deal shrewdly with them. Otherwise, they will multiply further. And when war breaks out, they will join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. That was a huge assumption. But okay, that's a whole nother story. So when the Egyptians assigned taskmasters over the Israelites to oppress them with forced labor, they built Pithom and Ramesses as supply cities for Pharaoh. But the more they oppressed them, the more they multiplied and spread to the Egyptians, came to dread the Israelites. They weren't even doing anything. You don't even have to do anything and people will dread you and people will hate you. Like, all they did was just grow in number. But that this shows us a lot. They worked the Israelites ruthlessly and made their lives bitter with difficult labor and brick and mortar and all kinds of field work. They ruthlessly imposed all this work on them. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, the first whose name was Shifra and the second whose name was Pua, when you help the Israelite women give birth, observe them as they deliver. If the child is a son, kill him, but if it's a daughter, she may live. The midwives, however, feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had told them. They let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, have you done this and let the boys live? The midwives said to Pharaoh, the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwives can get to them. So God was good to the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very numerous. Amen. Since the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Pharaoh then commanded all his people, you must throw every son born to the Hebrews into the Nile, but let every daughter live. Okay. Thank y'all for bearing with me. I pray that you were reading along with me because it may have been a little choppy. But we are going to point out generational trauma. The Bible doesn't talk about generational trauma. But look at what happened. This can be considered generational trauma. You are innocent. You're in a land based on your forefathers and what happened. You're in the land. You're blessed. You're multiplying. The people of the land despise you. They dread you because you're growing great in number. Then you become oppressed. They force work on you. Then they set a plot to kill your firstborn children. Your sons. Excuse me, not your firstborns. Excuse me. Your sons. You as a woman who is pregnant, you have no idea if your son, if your baby is a male or female. You hear this coming throughout the land. If your child is a son, is going to die, is going to be thrown in the Nile River, how would you as a woman feel? How would you as a father feel that you have no idea what's going to happen to your baby? That emotional state, that fear, that anxiety that you are experiencing. We understand now that things can be passed in utero. That fear and anxiety of the mother can be passed on to the child in utero. We know that now. Just imagine. We don't, again, the Bible doesn't say this, but I'm asking us to put ourselves in these parents' shoes, in these people's shoes. These were real people. How would you respond? Your baby. And just imagine that baby, newborn, being thrown in the river. Not only are you being oppressed with labor, but now your children are being taken away from you and murdered. Like Terry said, that is traumatic. We today will consider this as generational trauma or communal trauma. Amen. So now, Moses and his family were in this time, in this era. We can't even fathom that today. It would be an atrocity today if that happened. We hear about it in Asian countries that they are limited to the number of children that they have, that they can have. Amen. But we haven't experienced it personally. We can only imagine. So now let's go to chapter 2. Amen. Now. Amen. And we're still in Exodus. Not now a man from the family of Levi married a Levite woman. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. Here we go. Okay. When she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. Think about what this woman had to do. How do you hide a 3-month-old baby? How do you hide a 1-month-old baby? What do you have to do to hide this baby? Amen. How are you breastfeeding? Where are you putting your baby? Your baby can't lay next to you. You can't have your baby with you. You can't keep your eyes on your baby 24/7. What actually went into hiding this baby? What fear did they live in? What anxiety did they live in during this time? Think about it. Think about how traumatic that would be for you as a new mom or you as a new dad. Moses' people went through a traumatic experience. Okay? So then it says in verse 3, Exodus chapter 2, verse 3, but when she could no longer hide him, she got a papyrus basket for him, coated it with asphalt and pitch. She placed the child in it and set it among the reeds of the bank of the Nile. Then his sister stood at a distance in order to see what happened to him. Think about it. Now the sister is involved. We don't know how old the sister was. The Bible doesn't tell us. But his sister was like watching. Like, oh my God, that's my baby brother. I hope nothing happens to him. How did that impact his older sister? What did she experience? Having to watch this. Having to watch her brother being floated. He was 3 months old, being floated down the Nile River by himself. Again, these are real people that these things happen to. So in verse 5, chapter 2, verse 5, Pharaoh's daughter went down to bathe at the Nile while her servant girls walked along the riverbank. She saw the basket along the reeds, sent her slave girl, took it, opened it, and saw the child. And there he was, a little boy crying. How long did that take? How many days was that? Was that 1 day? Was that 2 days? The baby, he wasn't changed. He wasn't fed. Think about it. This was a real baby. Amen. This was a real baby. When she opened it, the boy was crying. How many days had it been? So she felt sorry. I'm in verse 6. Exodus 2, verse 6. She felt sorry for him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew boys." Amen. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Should I go call a Hebrew woman who is nursing to nurse the boy for you? Go." Pharaoh's daughter told him, so the girl went and called the boy's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse him for me, and I will pay your wages." Oh my God. But God. Yes, Pastor Carr. But God. This woman was getting paid to nurse her own baby. Okay? When God has called you, when there is a plan and an assignment on your life, even if you are 3 months, God is going to make a way for you. At 3 months old, God saved Moses' life. That mother had to move beyond her maternal instincts. That mother had to move beyond and push past all that she experienced to hide her baby, to release her baby. Amen. Can you imagine? And then God's faithfulness. God brought that woman's baby back to her. And now she is getting paid to nurse her own baby. My God. And when the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. Okay. Now you got to give your baby away again. Come on, y'all. Stop playing. This is a real woman who birthed that child. You already are living in fear when you're pregnant with him. You give birth to him. Oh my God, you see that he's a boy. Then you have to hide this child. Then you gotta put your baby down the Nile River. Then you get your child back. You nurse your baby. Then you gotta give him away again. Come on now. And then think about Moses. Moses is 3 years old, 3 months old. Have not a clue what's going on. He grows up with this woman in this household. We don't know exactly what the circumstances were. And then this woman who's been raising you just drops you off. You just get dropped off to Pharaoh's daughter. And then you become somebody else's son. Think about it. And then she named him Moses. He didn't have a name. Amen. God bless you, Zeddy. He didn't have a name before. He wasn't named. She said, when the child grew older, I'm in verse 10. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter and he became her son. She named him Moses. She said, I drew him out of the water. So from the way I'm reading it, his mother didn't even name him. Pharaoh's daughter named him. I don't know if we know what his name was before Pharaoh's daughter named him. We know what our foster kids go through today? When you are living with your family and then you gotta get taken away from your family, from your mother, for whatever reason. That's traumatizing. And then he wasn't just taken away from his family. He had to live in a different culture and a different ethnicity. The Hebrews and the Egyptians were completely two different peoples. You had a slave, oppressed people who served one God. Amen. Then into an Egyptian culture that served many gods. But then it was Pharaoh's daughter. So now you're in the royal court. So you're not just an average Egyptian. You are royalty. Can you imagine your baby giving your baby away? Okay. And then you got to give him to a completely different culture who believes in completely different gods. Amen. Hallelujah. God had a plan for Moses' life. God ordered this to keep Moses alive. But look at Moses' circumstances. Of when he was a baby. And God used it all. You have kingdom value. Just like Moses had kingdom value. Praise God. Gil, he says, praise God. We really need to learn to trust him. When we realize he has a plan for us. God knows. I've been there. Look at me now with my wife he promised me. You better go ahead, Gil, honey. He promised you a wife. He said, look at me now with my wife that God promised me. I know that's right. Okay? Yes, honey. Elise says, the family is traumatized because of what they went through. And Elder Zeddy says on YouTube, yes, the attachment then returns. Like, yes, these are real people who went through this real situation. Only imagine the thoughts and the emotions of what they went through. And Moses being bounced back and forth. And then being dropped off. And living in a completely different culture, a completely different ethnicity. Amen. Evelyn says, Evangelist Evelyn says, it is a repeated cycle. What do you mean by it's a repeated cycle? Evelyn, talk to us a little more. So y'all, like, we gotta understand, amen, that God doesn't always prevent us from, you know, prevent us from experiencing things. But like Gil said, if we believe, you know, that there is a, that God has a plan for us and for our lives, that we can overcome our childhood trauma. We know today it takes a lot of work. The Bible doesn't tell us all of these specific things. But we know, we put language in how it impacts us today. Spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, sexually, physically, socially. It impacts our jobs. It impacts our relationships. It impacts every area of our lives. And there's a lot of work that we must do. Amen. Gil says, Gil says, amen. My husband, Dr. William Webb IV, God bless you, man of God. He says, we can overcome, amen. And Evelyn says, what they went through back in the day, we go through now. Amen. Exactly. Then Rhonda says, God has a plan even when life looks like a complete mess. Amen. Amen. God has a plan for our lives. Amen. And God had a plan for Moses' life. And we just don't know how those things impacted Moses, because look at his life. He had negative self-talk. So how did he feel about himself? Did he go through an identity crisis? We don't know. Especially when he grew up, when you continue to read Exodus chapter 2, when he grew up and he knew that he was different. He knew that he was a Hebrew. They looked like, they were different. Think about it. Pharaoh's daughter immediately recognized, oh, this is a Hebrew boy. Amen. She immediately recognized him as a baby. So his features were completely different. Sometimes we go through identity crisis when you don't know your father, when you don't know your mother, when you are adopted, when you're raised in a different culture. Think about it. So that's why he was so conflicted. We hear messages about how conflicted Moses was. Now we can understand why he was conflicted. He was in the king's court, in Pharaoh's court, but wanted to protect and rise up to protect the Hebrews. And then he ran and was in the desert. He had a lot going on with him. Could it have been the things that he went through as a child? We don't know. The Bible doesn't say that to us. Deacon Johnson says, we are overcomers in the will of God. Amen. This is why I say I'm no longer human resilient. I am God resilient. It is only because of God's grace and mercy on my life. And the plan that he had for my life. Because I literally would not be here. Literally. If it was not for God. Stepping in. Loving me. Telling the enemy no. Strengthening me. Speaking to my heart. Putting people in my life. To love me. To pray for me. To be there for me. Amen. Evelyn says, it's very confusing when a child gets adopted. They get a new birth certificate with their new parents' names on it. I mean, think about it. It's like, that's what happened to Moses. It's like he was adopted. The Bible doesn't use those words. But that's what happened. And then we can see he was a dual citizen. He was fully Hebrew and Egyptian through indoctrination of the culture. Pastor Carr says, if our Jesus went through, we also will go through trials and tribulations, but he will be right there through it all, and we will be like pure gold. Amen. And Moses ended up leading the Hebrews out of slavery. Amen. But think about how he began. He was born in a time that all the male children were being thrown in the river. Look at his beginning. But God, because your beginning is not going to be your ending. Amen. It may have started out rocky. It may have started out traumatizing, but my God, my God. Gil says, you know what? I had to overcome 2 TBIs. Okay, that's traumatic brain injury, loss of memories, 2 weeks in a coma, relearning as an adult how to walk, but God was there with me, helping, protecting, and guiding. Replaced all 10 times. You know my story. Thank you, Lord. Praise God for his power and glory. I know that's right, Chad. Okay. Praise God for who he is. So, y'all, we got to wrap up. Don't forget, I'm going to be back at 9:15. Okay. I am the guest speaker on Saturday's Breakfast. Amen. The title of the message is This Don't Mean That. Amen. So, I'm going to be right back on at 9:15. I'm going to be on their conference line, but I'm going to be coming to you live on YouTube and Facebook. Amen. So if you want to join me again at 9:15 for a special message titled This Don't Mean That. Amen. I love y'all. God bless you. Happy Saturday. Be safe out there if you're in the Philly area. Amen. God bless you. We'll be right back.